The United States has not experienced a Juneteenth like this one in quite some time. The national discussion of equity has been completely blown open by the protests touched off by the death of George Floyd and fed by generations of disparate treatment of people of color. Now we're joined by Representative Brenda Lawrence, Congresswoman representing Michigan's 14th District, to talk about the times and the work of the House in this moment. Congresswoman Lawrence, thanks for joining us. Welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you so much. It's truly a pleasure to be with you today and to hear your strong voice and to be able to talk with you today.
We have so much we want to ask you about, but let's start with the issues dominating the streets. What have your thoughts been over the past couple of weeks as people have been marching all over Michigan and indeed all over the world to bring attention to police brutality against Black people?
So I'm of the age that I was a child during the civil rights movement and not quite able to participate because I was a child, but watched my grandmother cry, who was a Southern woman who migrated from the South and knew clearly the Jim Crow laws and what was being fought for. To hear in 2020 to be in the middle of this continuous fight and questioning where have we moved forward as a country, and to now see just the amazing diversity of voices. As heartbroken as I am that we're having this hard discussion with the country that I love, I'm hopeful because of the diversity of voices in every state in the United States of America protesting, using their constitutional right to say, as an American who believe in a democracy, believe in values and laws and inclusive respect for all, that this is unacceptable in America, and they're fighting for the rights of Black people in America. It is so hopeful. And now that we're at the point where we're trying to pass meaningful laws and policies, we do have two bills that are rising through our democratic process through the House and through the Senate. I am very hopeful that we will come together to produce a bill to go to the president's desk, but it cannot be one of just ceremony. It has to have transformational change and racism in regards to policing in this country.
You know, to that end, there's quite a lot in the House bill. Perhaps the measure that's getting the most attention in the Senate reform package would limit the use of chokeholds. What reforms do you think are most pertinent right now?
I feel strongly the chokeholds should be banned. You know, one point that a lot of people have missed in the middle of that horrific video of a police officer taking the life of a human being, that police officer was training. I want you to just think a moment about that. He was training two new officers on how to police. So it's a culture that's within the police departments around this country that it is okay, that type of unnecessary force, that type of total disrespect and regard for Black men is taught for generation after generation of police officers. So there's some things that are very strong for me. That officer also had a long list of allegations and complaints about him with unnecessary force. Those type of databases that would reflect those type of officers who should be pulled out, retrained, or reformed, and if not, fired, is something that I feel is very, very important, that we actually establish a national roster of these bad players. I'm a former mayor, so I firmly believe and support in a professional, well-trained, compassionate police department. Police are there when we are at our most vulnerable, when we call 911 to come and to protect us, to rescue us, not to beat us, not to find ways to incarcerate us.
When you took office, you took up the baton from Congressman Conyers and have continued his practice of introducing a bill every session to explore reparations. Do you think that proposal will be heard differently in the coming year?
Yes, because what's being realized is that there are layers and layers of racism that African Americans in this country have had to survive through, had to fight through, had to just be subjected to. And that is why the question of reparations is so important. And, you know, some people have such a negative, derogatory response to reparations. It happened in Germany. They do not allow any statues in Germany of any of the Nazi leaders. Why? Because through the conversation of reparation, acknowledging what they did was wrong, why would they subject the citizens to glorifying someone who purposely wanted you imprisoned and killed and diminish you as a human being? We have allowed that in the United States. So reparations is a time, first of all, for our country to stop and say what we did was wrong. And if we get nothing else but an apology from the United States of America, no one's asking for 40 acres and a mule. But when you look at the justice system, the rate that African Americans are in prison, when you look at the educational outcomes of large minority African American communities, obviously something needs to happen in America.
Part of our conversation in Michigan dealing with our own history involves Lewis Cass. He was a former governor and senator of the state whose name is plastered all over streets and schools and buildings. And there's also a statue of him at the U.S. Capitol. This is a man who was a slave owner and who was responsible for policies that just devastated Native people. He opposed abolition. Do you think his statue at the Capitol should come down?
Yes. Because when we glorify and make a statue of a person, you are validating his life, his mission, his accomplishment. So are we doing that? And just like we renamed Cobalt Hall, we have the Black Caucus, which I'm a member of. We have a concerted effort along with the support of Nancy Pelosi, thank goodness, to remove these statues from that insult to injury. We named one of the sections of our Capitol Emancipation Hall. And in that hall, we have some racist slave owners' statue erected in there, and they will absolutely be removed from there.
I just have one more question for you. We're settling into this time of year in which conventional wisdom says it's really hard to get meaningful legislation passed. And yet we know that Michigan's institutions, especially public schools, but really everything down to the community level, are facing so many serious cash problems because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Do you predict some agreements can be reached to make additional aid packages available for schools or for other kinds of COVID recovery?
There has been in this last lifetime, I've been a Democrat, but I can tell you being in Congress in this year has made me proud to be a Democrat even more. The fact that we passed a bill that would literally fill the gaps that were created in those financial budgets and resources that our state, our counties, and our cities and municipalities have had to absorb is one that we passed and we sent to the Senate. It is in Mitch McConnell's graveyard. And these cities are not Democrat or Republican. They are our citizens of the United States. It's something a lot of people don't know. I was a mayor for 14 years. Cities must balance their budget. So they are already cutting funding from their budgets based on the fact that they are anticipating, without any help, the state will be cutting money. So we have done our work. and hopefully the Senate will take it up.
Congresswoman Lawrence, we know you've got to go, but thank you for talking with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. This is, if I could just leave with this, this is a time that we really, really need to understand that we say a pledge of allegiance to this country. We say one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And as you see these protests and you see all that is happening, it is because we truly believe that we're one nation. So injustice to one, as Martin Luther King said, is injustice to all. We believe that justice should be for all.
Congresswoman Brenda Lawrence represents Michigan's 14th District. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.